Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
We've been had the old switcheroo. Great to have you on a Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. There's four microphones and a cord that goes to an assigned number.
Yeah. See, it's one thing to like get it mixed up, but like now people are switching numbers on these mics.
What happened is we called a halfback pass on second and two. We fumbled. Then tried to throw it under duress, and it was intercepted.
You know, we go
returned for a touchdown.
We go to KC, and somebody just comes in here and meddles with our stuff.
And apparently, it was too hot to. I mean, you needed like one beer to go nighty night. That was fun, though.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was a
thousand degrees
game.
In the sun. Thank God.
Just like 2.5 hours, but yeah, man, that was brutal.
Many of you made it to Husker Day at the K Saturday. Saw a lot of red. It was wonderful. Was there with my family. Had a great time. Refreshed. Back for a day.
Then you got more baseball.
I got more baseball. Headed up to Minneapolis to see the Yankees because I hate the Yankees and my kid loves Aaron Judge. Why not?
Yeah, make your kid happy, right?
Yeah, it's all his world. We're just paying rent. Loaded show today. Welcome back into Hail Varsity Radio. Can join us today. Jump in, tap the line, Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. On Twitter, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at TJ underscore Henning. So you can get a hold of us on social media. Email Chris at HailVarsity.com. And the drill is going to be per usual in the second hour. It is a Monday. It is a Monday with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, legendary former defensive coordinator for Nebraska. We'll just call him Defensive Coordinator Emeritus. We'll just start doing that. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride with us in the 5 o'clock hour. And then a couple of Hail Varsity specials. Husker Blackshirt NFLer Jay Moore going to be with us in 15 minutes. We'll get his reaction to the Chris Jones news and get Jay's outlook on what it does to the defense. TJ and I will kind of get going there with that as well. A lot of recruiting news this weekend, and Greg Smith has been all over it when it comes to who's eligible, who is not, and who gets to go to junior college and who gets to not. Have to mess with junior college. Nebraska, two prospects in the 2017 class. One may be headed that way. One is headed that way. Greg Smith, recruiting recap in hour two. You have your phone numbers, and you're welcome to join us. Just a little bit of irritation in my craw before I get into Chris Jones. Zach, longtime listener and reader, God love you, but I'm set off. I am set freaking off on Twitter. Okay, Zach, big-time Nebraska fan, tweets it. And okay. Goose from, there we go. Blasts, blast might be too strong. Here's his tweet into us. Sure, Riley can hook, but can't even keep them after they've signed. The recruiting class is falling apart. I just want to start throwing stuff, okay? I know Elijah Blades was wanted by Florida in the SEC, okay? I know Watts is a good defensive end from a stud program in Texas. They did not do their schoolwork to be eligible. Who's that on? Who's it on? Maybe mom and dad, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's on the kid, and I guarantee you, this isn't a senior year or even a junior year problem with these kids, because by the time the junior and senior year happens, there's 4,000 college recruiters calling these kids. There's camps wanting them to attend. They kick it into gear to make up for the freshman and sophomore year. Remember your freshman and sophomore year of college? I do. I had three sophomore years. I had a good freaking time. Okay? But as a freshman and sophomore in high school, sometimes you just don't do your job. And it comes back and kicks you in the backside.
Plain devil's advocate here.
Jeff texts in, pharmacist. He's blaming Phil Almation for this. Thank you. Blame Elmo the Screamer from 10 years ago.
Plain devil's advocate here. Maybe Zach is just thinking maybe you shouldn't go and recruit guys who have academic issues.
You know what? What is Nebraska doing right now? They have clearly looked at guys that can come in and there is less development needed. They're not against development, but they're trying to get more ready-made guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's what Michigan's done with IMG and Harbaugh. It's what USC gets with a higher caliber athlete. It's what LSU and Alabama get. They get a better player coming in, better tackler, better 440 guy, guys that are men, for lack of a better description. They were the guy that was dunking the basketball in seventh grade because they were adults physically. That's where Nebraska's going. Okay? That's the decision they've made more times than not. They're going to go for top-end talent. Why? Because the team you got to beat in Ohio State has top-end talent. The team you got to beat in Michigan is top-end talent. Michigan State has developed top-end talent. Wisconsin, they have a blueprint and a system. But by the time the guy's in the school his fourth year, he's had 1,700 reps, and he's going to kick your butt for four quarters. He's angry that he's been having to do the same drill over and over and over again. He's going to take it out on somebody. So Nebraska says, shortcut's a bad word. But it's let's jump a step and go get a higher caliber athlete to close the gap because you got to win now. So sometimes you're going to miss.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not missing on the ability or the talent. But these are guys that Nebraska could get and were super high on their board. These are the same guys that programs like Florida or Alabama or whoever else recruited, the Texas, TCU, whatever. They were wanted by these programs too, but I don't know if they were their first choice.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska said, you know what? We're going to gamble, and we're going to go in, and we're going to get these guys and tell them how great Nebraska is, and we'll be there for them. And we're still going to be there for them if it doesn't work out. So when they do go to JUCO, if they go to JUCO, and Watts' instance, great stuff again by Greg Smith, you have them to come back. And that's it. That's the thing. Because you're able to raid the JUCOs. I mean, look at the Levante David situation. You know, he's going to go to Middle Tennessee State, but man, Nebraska got hooked up because he had to go to junior college. Either more exposure or grades or whatever. And all bets are off now that they are in junior college. I can think of one instance, and Coach McBride can correct me, but the winner for Nebraska was Mike Rozier because he got placed in Coffeyville. And the legend goes that the Coffeyville junior college football coach stood in the doorway keeping Barry Switzer out of Mike Rozier's dorm room.
Wow.
Otherwise, you lose them. So are you down three really highly rated kids in 2017? Yes. And if you're Nebraska and you're trying to close the gap and get like athletes and players and abilities, you're going to mess up. The difference is it doesn't hurt Ohio State now. And I don't know about you, but I wasn't betting on Watts or Blades to be the reason they win a Big Ten West division.
No.
They're going to be complimentary guys if at all.
But you were gonna,
as freshmen.
But you were going to enjoy that depth that they bring, for sure.
Well, you were going to enjoy the competition they bring,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Who's to say if they get it and can execute it? That goes for anyone who walks on campus.
But, man, I don't know if tumultuous is the right word for this, but how about this offseason so far? We've had the Stanley Morgan thing, Keyshawn Johnson Jr.,
season
these two
needs to
JUCO
get here.
Guys. the passing of Bob Elliott, sadly, and then now this Chris Jones injury. I mean, it's not been great the last 2 months.
No, let's go to Chris Jones. I just had to explode there for a second.
That's fine.
Because I'm annoyed.
Got it off your chest.
I mean, damn it, Riley. It would have been illegal. There would have been a contact period. But you should have been there their freshman year to make sure they didn't say, screw Beowulf. I'm not reading it. And therefore, my quiz is going to suffer. And that D looks horrible in a core course. Ah, trigonometry. Who doesn't want to go to after-school extra sessions to be able to figure it out?
Yeah, I didn't like math either, but you got to.
No, you did. So I could get the pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, Schmidt, you're a nightmare. But we're going to pass it because I don't want to see you. Okay. Chris Jones. Man. This isn't good. This isn't good because your secondary is not going to be better with him watching for half the year.
Not at all.
And what I miss, and let's ask ourselves what you know and think the best about, the most about with Chris Jones. I mean, his ability speaks for itself, and it was only continuing to improve. And I remember back his sophomore year, where Nebraska's secondary was having some issues, and he got the start. And he came in and he played well, and he's kind of continued to ascend. And I remember the UCLA game where the guy had two picks. Really was just lights out. I remember how he played against Northwestern a year ago. And then they don't win the Indiana game without him. And Indiana was talented last year. God, I'm talking Indiana up like they're special or something. But he was huge. And Chris Jones was going to be that force, that captain, that leader on the defense. I mean, you've got your native Nebraska kid and Chris Weber, and then you've got Chris Jones, and he still can be a captain, but he is quiet. He is influential because he's kind of like, when he speaks, it matters. It has that much meaning to it. And he is absolutely a workaholic, perfectionist, and he's like your new defensive coordinator. He has that much nuance to his game. He cares that much about being awesome every snap. He is the mindset you want the other 10 to have, and you lose that. You lose his ability, you lose his playmaking attributes, you lose his NFL skill, you lose his leadership. And frankly, in a transitional year of defense, you lose his voice of reason and calm. Now what? You've got, while we're on the recruiting topic, you've got some four-star dudes that are at that corner spot. Eric Lee, high-profile dude, really good, supposed to be. Time is now, my man.
DiCaprio Boodle
can just flat-out fly. Kind of an under-the-radar dude from a satellite camp at corner. Time is now, bro.
Or do we move Kalu back to corner?
You have enough corners on your roster right now that you need to coach up and should be able to coach up, and no one will ever replace Jones.
I understand that, but we also have a guy in Kyren Williams who doesn't seem to have a spot. Mm-hmm. And with this injury, that could like fill that spot back at safety.
No, I mean, it makes sense to go, all right, move Kalu back to corner, and have Kyren Williams back there with Aaron Williams. Mm-hmm. That makes a ton of sense. I don't think there's a lot of trust or comfort in Kyren Williams right now.
And I understand that.
Despite everything he has done.
Yeah, and all these numbers, like Pro Football Focus had that number with how great he was last year.
But if you ask the coaches, they'll be like, he is such a freak athlete that he just makes up for being in the wrong spot. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, as young as they are, and I'm talking Lamar and in some of the areas defensively, not Chris Jones's spot, but now it becomes a youthful spot. Can you have an upperclassman maybe make a mistake and leave those guys out to dry? Here's what I would do. I would keep Kalu because you need some speed. at safety. You got to have it. Watch the Iowa game, the 70-yard touchdown pass. Okay? You need speed at safety. And the two different types of player you get with Aaron Williams and Joshua Kalu at safety make this defense better. You got Lamar, and now you have Eric Lee or Boodle. And that's kind of how you roll with it. Avery Anderson's intriguing to me because he can play both, but you haven't heard a ton about him. You have bodies there. You shouldn't have. Listen, you can move Kalu, but you shouldn't have to, is what I'm saying. What do you want? Do you want experience to help out an inexperienced corner? Or do you want a guy that may be out of position? It's been in the program for 4 years. And it's not just him. Anyone can be out of position. You can make mistakes. That sounds
like
it.
And especially with the new defense, too. So maybe that's what's worrisome, too, for the coaches as well.
So, if they are moving forward with this new defense with Kalu at safety already, I think you keep him there and you just ride it out. Perspective on Chris Jones's injury. Man, 4 to 6 months. Mr. Jones says 3 months, and I'm back via Twitter. He's an awesome, awesome dude. A great player. Will be missed. Jay Moore, Blackshirt Jay's reaction. Hail Varsity continues.
Allstate, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
It is El Duderino on this Monday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It is Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, Jay Moore at JayMoore44. Jay Bird, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you both doing?
I just lost my mind. Thank you, Twitter.
What? Hold on, fill me in. I always appreciate it when you go on a rant, so what did I miss?
Well, you have friends of the show, listeners, insinuating that because you have two guys that are maybe going the JUCO route. When I say maybe, one may, one will. That's Riley's fault. What are you doing recruiting these guys? You should have known about the academic. And I'm just like, no, you're trying to get bigger and more talented guys in you. You're going, you're swinging for the fences. That's what's going to happen. Live with it. Deal with it. You're not asking him to be Ralph Brown or Fabian Washington. That are freshmen that start. Doesn't happen here. Mm-hmm. So I just lost my mind. And then we talk Chris Jones, because that's what I want to start with you on, is can this Diaco defense survive the loss of Chris Jones? Say it's best case scenario and it's only half the year.
Yeah, I think so. I'm still kind of surprised, with a torn meniscus that, they're saying 4 months. And I've seen a lot of torn meniscuses in my time. I've never had one, but guys that have, had it, you kind of go in real quick and you scope it real quick and they're on crutches for maybe 2 days. And then honestly, like in a couple of weeks, they were back working out, month tops, and they're back to full speed doing whatever they want. So, this must've been a pretty bad torn meniscus, to potentially be out for 4 months, but I know he's your NFL prototype corner on the defense this year. I know it's a tough hit, but I feel like you can. I think there's young guys behind him that can kind of step up and play. And I think it will work out. I think you might talk to Coach Riley, and he puts a lot of emphasis on, on secondary play and recruiting secondary guys. You can never have enough good corners and safeties, and I understand that. So, hopefully you get some guys behind that will be able to step up. But I think it's a tough hit. I think it's one of those where someone will step up. You can make up for that loss. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's back a lot quicker than what they say. You kind of under-promise, over-deliver in a situation like this.
Jay Moore with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, his thoughts on Chris Jones. So if you're Jones and you've just laid out the meniscus timetable that you've seen, and on social media Chris Jones is saying 3 months, I'm back. I mean, I think you shoot for the Wisconsin or Ohio State game, best case scenario, and then you pray that the rest of the Oregon receiving corps continues to drive while intoxicated. I'm kidding. It's not nice. What I'm asking you here is, what do you do with Kalu? Do you keep him at safety? This is a new defense. You need more speed at safety, hence it's why you moved him. Or do you roll the dice and go with Lamar and presumably Eric Lee or Boodle on the other corner and keep Kalu back there at safety? What do you do, defensive coordinator Jay Moore?
Yeah, that's a good – I was kind of thinking about that, too. I'm thinking who else could step up. And I knew Josh was obviously made the move the same time. I really liked that move just because he has a little more burst on that back end than a guy like Kyron. And obviously Kyron made a lot of great plays last year, but I think he's just a step slower back there. You have to look there. I think that's probably your first reaction is we have to probably move Kalu over there. And maybe see how some of these younger guys who haven't played a whole lot of snaps, get them some reps, take a good look at them in training camp, get them some reps, maybe in that first game, get some live bullets. But I think just kind of how they went about with spring ball and kind of moving a lot of guys around, seeing a lot of guys handle it, I think they're going to be okay. I think, that's Diaco's kind of savviness at this D coordinator position is able to do that. You talk about in the NFL, it's like the more you can do, expanding your toolbox. And it's always nice to have guys that can play both positions. And it's easier to communicate. It's easier to step on that field. You're in more in sync with everyone once you kind of play both positions. So I think it's more than doable. But I got to imagine first reaction is, you got to look at moving Kalu back into that spot. You have a guy like with Kyron, even though he might be a step slower, he's played that position. You've played live reps, and you just can't duplicate a guy that's played in live game situations, make big plays. He's had a lot of sealed the game against Minnesota with the pick. So you cannot duplicate those live game reps, and you got to look to those guys who have the most experience in those live games. First and foremost,
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio at Jay Moore 44. Jay, what would you do from a recruiting standpoint? And I know we opened with it. I want to come back to it. What do you like about Nebraska's aggressiveness with recruiting? And what are you apprehensive about with it? I mean, because it's been the story. Is who they're getting, the number of stars next to the name, and that's all well and good for hope and hype, but it's got to translate, and there are some risks you do take. And I mean, it's risk management more so than anything in success
right.
with recruiting, but would you change anything that Nebraska's doing?
No, I wouldn't change a thing. I think the effort, the whole scheme of things and how they've gone into it with, an addition of like a guy like Billy Devaney and having his input and having an NFL GM there kind of approach it the same way with, instead of looking at 21, 22, 23-year-old college kids, you're looking at 16, 17, 18 high school kids. No, I don't think so. I think you go after the best talent, period, at all 11 positions on each side of the ball. You go after the best ones, hands down. And you're always going to have kids. I mean, academics are obviously a part of it, but there's been a lot of guys that have, you knew it was going to be close, but they're able to knock out a couple courses or right after, some summer school courses, and then that got them eligible. You're always going to have that. It's just when not everyone's going to be, academically eligible right after they graduate high school or whatever it may be. That's just how it goes when you're working with such a large, pie of players, you're going to have some of those issues. And you have to go after them. Elijah Blaze is a phenomenal football player. You go after great players, first and foremost, you get them to you, and then you worry about if they're the academics. That's kind of a second thing. Okay, this kid's a top level immediate contributor. Great. Let's get them interested, and then you know once you get them there, it's okay. Now we got to work about getting them qualified, and that's you know I'm sure they've been working on that behind the scenes this whole time. But I wouldn't change a thing. You're going to run into these issues. You can't do anything about it. So I wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't get worried. It's just it's going to happen. You go after some kids, it's just going to happen. Some kids don't get it done. They don't take care of their business, and that's part of the battle. And you look at Alabama. You look at other schools. They're running into a lot of the same issues. So hopefully they can get their stuff cleared up within a year or whatever it is, and they're back back on campus quicker than what many people think. But definitely not change the thing. I love their approach. I love their aggressiveness. Got to go after the best talent and then handle the rest from there.
Jay, let's talk the Open. I'm sure it'll be windy and rainy and dreary across the pond. You'll be up with a pot of coffee watching it all. I need to know who takes home the Open.
Man, you know, I'm liking the guy that won the Masters earlier this year in Sergio. He's always played well over there, hasn't got it done. But now that he kind of has that monkey off his back with the first major win, I definitely like Sergio. And I really like I'm just big favorites of the European guys. I really like guys like Tommy Fleetwood, who's won a couple of European events this year. You know, people might not hear of him, but he actually only grew up like 10 minutes from the course. Then I like a guy like Justin Rose, who has a little nostalgic there where he almost won the damn thing as an AMO back in maybe the late 90s. I cannot remember. A couple of rotations before it's been there again. So I like him, but definitely European heavy. You know, those are probably my top three picks right now. And then for my favorite U.S. guys, you got to like guys like Dustin and guys like Spieth, even guys like Zach Johnson who can play in conditions and you know, control their ball. So those would be my top three American guys from there. But definitely Sergio Fleetwood and Justin Rose are my top three picks this week.
Okay, we've got 2 minutes. Sevier just tweeted this picture out of the 96 Nebraska football black shirts. There's Stu. It's the old defensive poster, okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's Ola, and there's Stu with his Jim Morrison hair. There's McEwen in the back row. Someone, you know, cut his teddy bear's head off is how he's looking. And then there's you just mean mugging.
Yeah.
What was said by the photographer to get you guys looking like someone just towed you?
Well, that's like an agreement you have. You're getting ready to take this picture. First of all, it's funny. So that was taken like after the first or second practice of fall camp. But of course, you're getting up to the practice field, and it was you know you go into the weight room, and everyone's in there doing push-ups and doing curls and triceps, all this stuff. So you got to look extra jacked up. First and foremost, that's the most important thing. And then
how swole can you get?
Exactly. Yep. 100% true. And then you go to, okay, how are we looking for this picture? Are we going blank stares, you know, mean? It's kind of like a group decision. And I think we took a couple of them, and we don't choose which one. The photographer always kind of, you know, or someone in administration kind of chooses the best one. But, you discuss everything. But first and foremost, you got to make sure your bicep, tricep game looks really strong. And then you got to go for the mean mug look. You go for the serious look. You get that decided. Take a few pics, and then look forward to getting the poster out. So it's always fun. I was able to get on a few of those posters, so I still have some of them somewhere around the house. But that was a fun one, especially being my senior year.
I loved it. And I'm counting 2, 4, 5, 8 NFL dudes on that black shirt defense. Bird, I will prank call you at midnight tomorrow after I see the Twins and Yankees.
Okay, perfect. Have fun.
Hey, bud, take care. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it.
Later. There he is, Jay Moore. You may have to tweet out or retweet this black shirt poster from 06. More thoughts. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Coming up, Charlie McBride, Mr. Blackshirt, Mondays with Charlie in 25 minutes. About 40 minutes away, we will run down Greg Smith recruiting with Hale Varsity. Okay, and speaking of Greg Smith, amazing work this weekend on Deontay Watts, defensive end, defensive lineman that was part of the 2017 class. And Sunday, Greg had the story that the three-star defensive tackle and his source told Hale Varsity that obviously, A, Watts did not qualify academically, and he signed dually, A, with Fort Scott, it's where Levante and Brendan Kenny and Yoshi Hardrick. I mean, it's been a good school for Nebraska to get kids. Now, can they send a kid there and get him back? Two, he signed with Nebraska and then Fort Scott Community College. So here's the meat of this report from Greg Smith. Plano East is a powerhouse. Plano East is Nebraska was in the running and then kind of backed off of a defensive end for this 18 cycle just recently. Kind of decided to go a different direction. Well, here is the question when it comes to Watts and his situation. Does the kid want to play anymore? Does he want to play football anymore? That's a fair question to ask. It's not an overreaction, knee-jerk to, okay, he's supposed to play defensive end in Nebraska, didn't get his schoolwork done, he's got to go to JUCO. Think about you in his shoes for a second. Okay, you've kicked butt, taken names at a prestigious program in high school in Texas. When push comes to shove, you just didn't get it done academically. Crushing. How do you respond? Well, you can go to JUCO and then do the D1 thing, or you can say, screw it all, I'm done playing. And I think there is some legitimate concern that he may be done playing. Not injury, but just what's ahead of him. It's like, I want to jack with junior college. Don't know. Does he want to go to junior college? I wouldn't. But that's the bed you got to lie in now. Does he want to play football anymore? I mean, think about being a guy that's, I don't know, let's get his exact height and weight. 6'3", 300 pounds.
Whew.
Okay? That's a lot of dude.
That is a lot of dude.
It's a lot of dude. Okay? And, I mean, the guy just missed a 90 ranking, high three-star. Maybe you're just done running and done hitting. That may be something that's a true reality.
Yeah, and you wonder how much, if just not being able to qualify for Nebraska,
And he's going to be 20.
How much he actually enjoyed football.
In a year.
Like, if it's as easy for maybe him to be done with football, like, how much he actually enjoyed it.
Think about it. I mean, you got to know somebody that they felt like they had to play it for whatever reason.
A lot of tall guys in basketball.
Yeah, you're too big not to play.
Yeah.
Mom, I just want to play the trombone. Trombone players don't get chicks.
Miles Davis, I'm sure, did. Was he a trombone guy?
It's probably a trumpet, but whatever. It's a woodwind.
So I both start with a T, right? TR. That's a history of jazz. I should know that.
Every trombone player I knew was a jackball. Not all of you are. I'm saying the ones I knew. So look, you got the obligation. Okay, there's Friday Night Lights. All the cheerleaders dig football players. You're in East Plano. Where everyone's got a black American Express card because you're loaded.
You're in Friday Night Light State, baby.
Okay? So you got to do it. And if you're like, you know, in seventh grade and it's just you play because you're big. You're a big kid. What are you going to do? Well, I'd love the golf and bowl. Can't happen. Maybe it can, but you get more sizzle if you're one of them big Texan defensive linemen.
Oh, for sure.
Okay? So you got to ask yourself, it's all over. Now I'm going to have to work harder than I've ever had to work in my life. It's school. I'm not even talking football field yet. So that's a concern.
And then you got Blades going to Western Arizona.
Mm-hmm. And that's where Randy Gregory went. And I remember in past years talking with Western Arizona's head coach, this is the year that we weren't sure if Randy was going to get to campus or not. I mean, truthfully, it was, oh, he's going to be awesome if he gets here.
And it was down between us and Purdue, correct? Randy?
I mean, Randy's Fishers, Indiana, isn't far. I mean, it's much closer to Purdue than Nebraska.
Yeah.
Randy had a problem getting to school on time throughout high school. And Randy would score, or probably did score, between a 32 or a 34 on his ACT. His Wonderlic scores off the freaking charts. He's gifted academically. But he ended up in junior college. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just the whole attending class thing, yeah.
It's just the
going.
Little details. So you got to ask yourself, if you're Nebraska, what do you do here? And they're continuing to be selective. Listen, you've got Davis at defensive end. You're in a 3-4. You don't need as many linemen. This isn't a nose guard, okay? This isn't a nose guard you're losing. Is it good? No. Okay, it's not.
Yeah, I asked you pre-show if this would maybe open the door at all, losing Watts maybe to Bryson Williams down there at Lincoln Southeast, but you kind of think no.
No, I don't think you can come back to Bryson Williams and say, you've already made your decision that you've got the two kids in the state of Nebraska you want to give a scholarship to. That is clear, because I think there's multiple channels that have to be checked and approved and okayed to give that scholarship offer to anybody in state.
Mm-hmm. And then we also had Bryson on, and he was very adamant that he's sticking to Wisconsin.
Right. No, the bigger picture and perception is you lost Keyshawn Johnson Jr., you've lost Blades, you've lost Watts. That's just not a good look for 2017. I have no defense to that, but it's a common look to everyone else in the world of recruiting football. You're going to lose kids. You're going to lose kids because of academics or decision-making, hence they're kids. So how do you adjust and adapt to it? And were you banking on him being a true freshman starter at defensive end? Well, no. I mean, you've got options. You've got the Davises. You've got Mick, and I know he's your nose guard. And I know Khalil's your nose guard. You've got Freedom. You got options at defensive end where Watts, maybe by the end of the year, if he was up to speed on knowing the defense and transitioned physically well, you know, thinking that that might be a possibility because of the program and the level he played at in Texas. I don't know. We have some goodies to give away here. Next segment, Charlie McBride, 10 minutes away. Recruiting with Greg Smith. Hail Varsity Radio continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Black Shirt Charlie on the way. Mondays with Charlie McBride. Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine. HailVarsity.com. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, and you, Greg Smith, on recruiting coming up at 25 after next hour. Sauter Heyman coming up. All you got to do is go find Rick. It's Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln around Weston, Grand Island. How about Pure Grown Diamonds, Nebraska's exclusive dealer, Sauter Heyman. And Pure Grown Diamonds are diamonds that are grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. They're beautiful, all the characteristics of earth-mined diamonds, except they're 10 to 40% less than those earth-mined diamonds. They're eco-friendly, and they're some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. You can log on SauterHeyman.com and go check out those Pure Grown Diamonds for yourself. Maybe it's time to get a birthday gift or an anniversary gift or a schmuck gift. You can always just get the forgiveness with diamonds, is what I'm saying. Pure Grown Diamonds, Sauter Heyman. Sam McEwen just put the scholarship allotment out on social media. Defensive ends. Nebraska has 7 scholarship defensive ends. DeAndre Thomas, Ben Still, Deshaun Neal, Carlos Davis, and Freedom, along with Peyton Newell. A.J. Natter, but dude needs to get healthy. When we talk defensive tackles, you have Damian Daniels. That's the guy that, let's be straight, if you're going to get in an uproar about getting someone academically ineligible or getting a kid being academically ineligible, I think the lineman that you can't lose this class is Damian Daniels, because he's just a monster. And he's a guy that you could see come in and spell some reps between Mick Stoltenberg and Khalil Davis. Hopefully you won't have to jack with it. But you need a space eater. So there you have it. Nine outside linebackers. Hampton and Thomas, Quayshon and Colin. Colin's your guy, along with Ferguson and Alex Davis. And then you got Cedric King and Luke Gifford. And newbie's your only senior. So pretty good stuff. What do we have to give away next hour?
We got Salt Dog tickets, the free 6 months.
Yeah, well, we're going to do that here shortly.
Okay. And I gotta double check on something.
Okay. So it's good I've blown you off for an entire hour.
So it actually is good.
I meant to do it, but it was subconsciously. Okay. So Greg Smith is coming up on recruiting, and Charlie McBride is next segment. Greg Smith's crushed it in recruiting. Brandon Vogel does an awesome job. Jacob Padilla. You know the team on HailVarsity.com. Don't miss out on any recruiting news. We'll give you a 6-month online subscription right now on us for you. The ultimate online fan experience. Great message board community. A lot of breaking stuff that you'll get. Recruiting analysis, inside info, and that breaking news you want. Caller 5, right now, a 6-month online subscription for you today with HailVarsity.com. Caller 4, caller 5, 466-3776, 466-3776, toll free, 1-800-825-5865. Caller 4, caller 5, a 6-month online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com. Read up on the Watts situation. Get caught up on the Blades situation. And who Nebraska's chasing? Joshua Moore news. Greg's all over it. Caller 4, caller 5. Right now, a 6-month online subscription to you. HailVarsity.com. 466-3776 or 1-800-825-5865. Charlie McBride next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Hour 2 back with you. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It is that time. It's Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt. Charlie McBride, presented to you by Emeritus. No one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus will help you find focus and protect your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning, also protecting your employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing. 130 years of peace of mind. Emeritus, proud to stand with the Huskers, proud to bring you Coach Charlie McBride. Coach, how are we doing today?
Good. Nice and hot, nice and humid. Makes your bones go much easier.
I got to ask you, you're up in northern Michigan, and it's just blazing everywhere. And, I mean, how brutal does it get in northern Michigan? It's supposed to be kind of cool and relaxing, isn't it?
We're about the same as you are. I'm in the farthest part south as you can get.
Okay. All right.
We're not in the UP, but I go up there once in a while because of friends and stuff. But we're down here, you know, we get a lot of the same Chicago weather, same thing. It just comes right straight from Lincoln to here.
Well, you can blame me or thank me, depending on the week. Well, I like it.
You live in the heat in Arizona for a long time. This stuff's great.
Well, funny you mentioned Arizona, because Nebraska will have one of their projected top talents headed to Arizona Western Junior College, Coach. You also have a defensive end out of Bishop Dunne in Dallas that is not going to qualify, and we're not sure if he's going to keep playing football. If he does, he'll be at Fort Scott. Let's start there and talk about that risk-reward, going after kids that are high talent level, but there could be some risk academically. What was your experience like for you when you were at Nebraska, having to make that determination on to keep going after a kid or back off of a kid?
No, I think a lot of times it's your personal feeling about the kid. I had an experience with, in fact, I've spent some time with him here lately, is Jared Tomich,
right,
who was a prop, what we called a prop 48 at the time. And he paid his own way for a year. And then, of course, he ended up being an All-American. But, you know, we at that time, he was, offered scholarships, but by Indiana, Purdue, and, you know, some of the other schools in Indiana. And, most of them kind of stayed away from him because what they made a mistake, I think, somewhere and overdid it. They called him learning disabled.
Right.
Well, he has a degree and and stuff like that. So it wasn't that way. I think that he was the way I understood it from his parents when I talked to him is that he just has to study a little harder and a little longer than some kids. And he was never a problem. And, so you got to kind of fool around, and there's some kids that back, and I don't remember names right now, but there's a kid that had a very, very, very low score on his SAT, or I don't remember one of the two. I think it was the ACT.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you probably know, you can probably tell me better than me, is now he's the chief of police out in California, and he's graduated in 3.5 years. So, you run across those kind. Now, Mike Rozier was a kid that we sent to Coffeyville.
Mm-hmm.
And he was down there for a couple of years and then came here. He was fine. I don't know about having a degree or not because he went right into pro ball mm-hmm. right away and so on. So, that there's some that you really have to stay after. And I know the biggest thing that Tom did that I recognized was he didn't just let a kid go if he didn't finish his degree. He called him on the phone. He stayed after him. I mean, you can look back at guys like Bob Newton and, Johnny Rogers. And I mean, he stayed after those people. And he just didn't let them walk away when he, I think John Perella left with 6 hours, but in turn later on got his degree from Nebraska. So, it's a thing that, John had gone to another school, came and walked on and mm-hmm. things like that. But when you get a player like that, there's a chance. And you have to know that the kid is, there may have been a circumstance that he was under. He may have been in a real poor school district, or he may have been things like that. I know in Chicago you could go to one school and, be a 2-point student and be in the upper quarter of your class.
Sure. It just depends on where you're at, right?
Yeah, a lot of it. And it was kind of funny because when I was at Wisconsin, you had to be in the upper half of your class. Well, if you went to Maine, East or West, I don't remember, one of the top schools at that time in the Chicago area, a 3.4 was not in the upper half of the class. I mean, they were one of the top schools in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you go around to another school, and a 1.8 is the upper half of the class.
Sure.
It's 6'1", half a dozen. I think a lot of it depends on how you're feeling about the player.
Well, Nebraska felt good. You look at some of the peer schools that recruited these guys, and they have the potential to be difference makers now. We'll see if they come back to Nebraska. The other side of this coin, Coach McBride, is you're losing a kid now to JUCO, and that'll reopen the recruitment.
Right.
Can you keep him?
Well, let's do. There was a time when some of the schools that we went to, if you put him in a certain junior college, let's just say, for example, this coach really wanted him, you would get him back because he wouldn't send a transcript to anybody but you.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so a lot of them work that way. I don't think it's known publicly, but I know there's a couple of schools that have junior colleges, I mean, almost on their campus. I know Texas A&M was one of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's a lot of different circumstances, but most of the kids, you know, that you put in, like I said, there's something there that tells you that he can do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there, you don't, if you see one that's just completely, you know, it's not going to happen, then you stay away from it, of course. And most of the time those kids will, you know, will, if you go to, I always do one thing, if they went to Arizona Western, you're pretty much opening it up to the whole West Coast again.
Yep.
You know, if they came and went to Independence or Coffeyville or something in the Midwest or, you know, kind of a junior college that wasn't really near home and they got away from their environment. And a lot of times going to Arizona Western, there are so many kids from the West Coast that go to those schools that you're not sure what's going to, you know, what's going to come of it. But, you know, we always kind of looked at not many of those, okay? And, of course, the Prop 48 thing got to be a little bit ridiculous. Some schools were taking 5 and 6 Prop 48s, and some schools were only allowed to take 2. I think that we settled on possibly taking 2 Prop 48s at one time.
Okay.
I wouldn't swear by it, but I'm almost sure because I know we never took more than 2, for example.
Right.
And of course, those are guys that partially qualifiers. They were ahead in one thing and not another. You know, and they changed all those rules since I was coaching.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, now let's talk Chris Jones. He has been a steady playmaker, NFL-type talent, and you feel sick for the kid with his meniscus. And he says via social media, I'll be back in 3 months. The prognosis is 4 to 6 months, which puts you at Ohio State. That's if everything's perfect and you feel good. What do you think Nebraska does for his spot? Is it as simple as moving Kalu back to corner opposite Jackson? Do you keep Kalu at safety? Because, I mean, your experienced section of the defense was your secondary, and really, honestly, your best defensive player is out now for an extended period of time. How do you deal with it if you're Nebraska?
Well, you know, it all depends on really, did they do the surgery?
Yes.
Well, a lot of times the doctor, you know, will not be overwhelmingly positive. That's just the nature of being a physician.
Right.
I think, you know, sometimes you want to just, you know, they go by the book sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I don't, individuals are different, but. So they may say, you know, it's just like a broken leg or a broken hand or finger. You can't play for 6 weeks, you know. Right. Yeah, right, okay. You know, and, you know, 3 weeks you're playing and then and maybe, and I don't mean that with a broken leg, but so maybe a fibula or something like that cracked if you could do it. But, you know, there's a lot of times, I'll give you an example. I had a kid named Steve Wagner. When I was at Wisconsin, and I was watching him run, you know, just before the season started, he was just striding out hundreds down in the stadium, and I was just looked down at him. All of a sudden, he just hit the ground like a crown concrete fell on him or something, and grabbed his knee. And I go down the steps, and one of the other players, I had him go up to the training room, bring him down, and actually our team physician happened to be, he's an orthopedic surgeon, just happened to be in the training room. He came down, they carried him upstairs, and I know this is unusual, and a lot of doctors will say, you know, this guy's, I'm not telling the truth, but I'm telling the truth. He went upstairs, and he had on his knee locked.
Mm.
And he had a little, you could see the bump. You could see that there was a piece of cartilage that it was right there on the skin.
Mm.
So he proceeded to stick a little Novocaine in him, made a little incision, and told him to bend his knee, and the thing popped out on the floor. He sewed it back up, and the kid was playing in about a week. You know, he was back running again. But those are freak accidents and freak things. And so a lot of it depends on how much is really torn up in there.
Sure.
You know, and everything is different. I mean, you know, it's just so crazy to say. And the attitude, number one, is probably he's going to end up playing between you and me.
Sure. Sure, right. No, and I mean, that's like the greatest strength along with his ability is the attitude that Chris Jones is bringing to the defense. I mean, you've watched him for years. This guy wants it, and he's your leader.
Right.
So I think
his attitude is important, you know. But that's the thing you like to see in a kid, because the other players really respect that kind of thing. And you know, and it makes him a better player when he comes back. A little adversity sometimes is maybe good for everybody, you know, to say, oh, man, I hope that doesn't happen to me. I'm going to, you know, do this or do that, you know, and I see this guy working like he is. And, you know, so there's some positive things that come out of negative things.
Sure. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. We always catch up with Coach McBride, brought to you by Emeritus on Mondays at 5. Coach, I'm going to be heading not quite your way, but I'll be up in Minnesota the next couple of days, and I will be back next week. We're going to catch a little baseball, but can't wait to speak with you again next week, and enjoy this hot weather. I'm sure you're loving it.
Oh, I'm loving it. I mean, I just can't wait to get back upstairs and start pulling insulation out of the ceiling. It was so much fun.
Well, I'll let you keep having fun then.
Okay. Chris, I'll talk to you next week.
Take care, Coach. Appreciate you.
Have a good time up in Minnesota.
Will do. That'll be good.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye now.
Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie, brought to you by Emeritus. I can see him. I mean, you know Coach McBride.
Yeah.
He's awesome, but he's also... he can be snarly. That's part of his charm and beauty. And I can see him just bad mouthing that insulation.
I told him it was hot as heck down here, and he's like, oh, that's good
like,
for
what
you.
Are you whining about?
Yeah. He's like, I'm bumping this roof on insulation. This is
like, it's
incredible.
1,000 degrees. We have we have an addition to the show.
Okay.
He is like, you sound like classic rock. I love it. Jeremiah Searles, listening on FM 101.5, our favorite Minnesota Viking, texts me. He's like, do something good for once. Give me a good hour. Just messing with me.
Yeah.
He had the Tyson's Treasures golf tournament this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Viking is going to join us at 5:40.
Okay. We should tell him.
So he needs to go to the Lincoln ESPN Lincoln app to get us in.
Yeah, you should tell him to try to eat pizza without ranch, though. Let's see if he can.
We're
going to
give him so much crap about that. Listen, Lazari's, love him, awesome. I'm going there shortly. You're doing hour two. Anywho, but Searles, like, there's a ranch shortage. Okay.
There I believe is. It.
Searles rolls up to the condiments bar at Amigos with a straw so he can transport it back and put it on his pizza.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Blackshirt Charlie, Coach Charlie McBride, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, Jeremiah Searles is 15 minutes away. We will ask Searles about what type of recruitment video he would have done. I envision it like the big buck hunting video game with the gun, like the HD version you see at bars.
See, I would have think he would have never have done
no,
one.
No, he hates them.
Okay, that's what
but
I thought.
But I'm saying if he were to do one, it would have been him shooting different animals.
that would go over well with PETA. Latest recruit, shooting animals.
Well, just not a video game. It's not like he's throwing dynamite and fishing.
Oh, okay, video game. Sorry. Right, like, I thought you said real life.
It's like the Golden Tee game, except it's the big buck hunter game.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
I just know he likes to hunt, so I just know
he would have been blowing away other tee. Like he would have shot the buffs. He would have shot the ducks.
Okay.
And he would have picked Nebraska.
All good, then.
All over Nebraska recruiting this weekend and beyond is Greg Smith of Hail Varsity at Greg Smith HV. Mr. Greg, how are you?
I'm excellent, man. You know, because of you guys, I stopped over outside of Lazari South. That's where I'm doing this interview from. And I would have made a recruitment video as well.
No, absolutely. When it comes to the choice you're going with,
oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't play college athletics, but I would have made one and had a CBA hat on the table for Nebraska and everything. It would have been good.
No, I like it, but I'm saying we ought to get Lazari's to do a kind of a recruitment video for the pizza pie of the day.
Oh, that's a good idea. Look at us giving them ideas.
Greg, go say hi to Greg. Greg, say hi to Greg and the gang. Okay, man, you are all over it. HailVarsity.com, continual growth with the subscription and just great recruiting coverage. Thanks to the team. And, Greg, you did awesome this weekend. And let's just be straight, man. Your phone was never not charged nor away from your sights. And let's talk about Watts out of Texas. And your story with him and kind of your reaction to this weekend's news.
Yeah, you know, it was an interesting weekend with him. Is that you kind of hear the whispers about him, you know, not being able to make it into Nebraska and not qualifying. I was able to confirm that. And then the conversation took a turn, and I was honestly floored when the source told me that he may be done with football at this point. He might be retiring. Retiring was the word that the source used. It was really interesting. I had to take a step back and make sure we double-check that he actually said that correctly. But right now, they don't know whether or not he wants to play. Now, my speculation is that what happened was is that Deontay Watts, big defensive tackle out of Plano, Texas, mm-hmm. was not going to qualify at Nebraska, and then he kind of had a panic moment where it's like, if I can't go there, you know, I'm just done with football. I know the adults in the situation are trying to talk him out of it because, you know, that's a big life decision to make on a whim like that. So I'm sure they're definitely trying everything they can to get him to change his mind, that even if he's not going to go to Nebraska, he can go the JUCO route and try to get back into D1 ball at some point as well. But as of right now, he's done playing ball and won't be attending any school.
So that is what Greg Smith has for you. HailVarsity.com. Deontre Watts is right now retired until we hear otherwise?
Yep, right now until we hear otherwise. Now, like I said, they are actively trying to change his mind on that, but right now that's what he's trying to go with.
If you were to give me a percentage on the flip, usually we talk, who's he flipping to? Well, let's see if he flips back to football. What do you think? Is it beyond 50-50?
Yeah, at this point, I would probably say 60% that he sticks with what he wants to go with right now. 40% the adults and cooler heads prevail, and that he flips back to, you know, going to a JUCO. I believe in Kansas mm-hmm. is where they were going to have him placed, and then him getting back into the game.
What kind of were the roadblocks? And Teej and I were talking about this, and so many times it's your early years in high school that can mess you up for your senior year. And this is a GPA or a test qualification. It's one or the other. Any insight onto what held him back from qualifying at Nebraska?
You know, I don't have insight on that. That has not come up yet. But as you guys may know, and part of this is it's a sliding scale as mm-hmm. well, right? So, like, even if you have a situation where, you know, like you guys are saying, you early in your high school years, you're kind of messing around, and a lot of people do that, athletes or not, and then get it together later on in their high school years when they know they need to buckle down for college entrances. But it's a sliding scale so that if you don't have the GPA, if you get the test score, then your GPA doesn't have to be as high. But right now, we don't have many insight onto mm-hmm. which of those situations he was in. We just know that he's not going to make it.
Well, we'll see if he gets his love for football back. Deontay Watts, if he ends up at Fort Scott or not. But right now, Greg Smith saying retirement is the word. unless the adults change his mind. Elijah Blades, Arizona Western. Greg, your story on HailVarsity.com today. Give us a rundown on kind of how things shook out with Blades. There's a chance, based on his athleticism, that he could contribute at Nebraska this year as a true freshman. We won't know because it's Arizona Western.
Yeah, and this one is a tough one, especially on the heels of the Chris Jones injury news that kind of came out over the weekend, is that Elijah Blades, for all intents and purposes right now, a source told me this morning, he will be enrolling at Arizona Western Community College out in Yuma. And that's a tough one. Like, it's difficult, man. First of all, he was the highest-rated defensive commit in this class. He was rated slightly higher than Avery Roberts. And so he's a cornerback in a position of need in which he was the only corner that was in the 2017 class. He's 6'3", 170. You just don't find a lot of corners with that kind of size. So really, there's no real way to kind of mince words on this one, that's a tough loss. The only thing that kind of helps you, but it helps you in the future, is that Nebraska has done very well with recruiting corners or defensive backs in the 2018 class led by Buki, and then also Mario Goodrich and Chase Williams, and they're in on some other really nice kids. But for this coming year, because he would have been, of all of the freshmen out there coming in this season, like, he's definitely on the short list of guys that would have played for them this season. So that definitely hurts.
Where are you at right now? Let's talk Chris Jones. And Coach McBride says one thing that he's always been wowed by and impressed with is Jones's mentality and just how mentally strong Chris Jones is. And obviously the talent speaks for itself. But so this may be kind of an outlier with, if the guy says on social media, I'll be back in 3 months, the world may not believe it. Chris Jones believes it. And that's all he needs, right? What do you do in the here and now? Let's say it is 6 months. Do you move Kalu back? Do you roll with Lee and Lamar? Do you go with Boodle? I mean, you have options and talent. It's just not proven at corner. Aside from Jones, what do you do, Greg, with your defensive coordinator hat on?
If I am Bob Diaco right now and I've got all the intensity in the world, I leave Josh Kalu at safety. And I make the young guys prove it. I think that, listen, it's not as if we're talking about, when you talk about, say, Lee, we're talking about a four-star kid out of Colorado, right? We're talking about DeCaprio Boodle, who was underrated, but one of the fastest recruits in America when he came out in his recruiting. And we have guys that have some pedigree to them coming into Nebraska. They just have not been able to show it on the field yet for various reasons. Part of it being that there had been good depth in that secondary, and there's still talent in that secondary. Now it's just unproven. So it's time for some of those guys, in my mind, to come out and step up. The other thing, though, that I don't think is getting talked about nearly enough that really hurts this situation with Kalu potentially moving back down to cornerback is if JoJo was still out there. JoJo Demand was still in the mix, and he had not hurt his knee during spring camp, in which he was impressing people during camp. This would be a heck of a lot easier decision to just move Kalu back down. But without JoJo back in the mix yet, I would leave Josh Kalu back out there.
Doman was coming on, and you're absolutely right, and you've just had bad things all around. Loss in the secondary. And the silver lining is Kai Williams has played a lot of good football and he's been an impact guy. You've just survived some of his mistakes because he's such a freak athlete and he's a competitor. So you have options, but you've spent the spring with Kalu back there, and I think you're right. I think you ride with it. Greg Smith is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. We're talking recruiting. We're talking the Chris Jones injury as well. And moving forward, and just to wrap this up, about 2 minutes left here, Greg, social media, just devoted listener and reader to Hail Varsity tweeted into us about, you know, come on, Ryan. The paraphrasing of it is, you should have known these were academic risks. Why take them? And that blew me up, for lack of a better term, to start the show, because you go get the best player, period. You're trying to get the best athlete, and you just roll with it. Recruiting's inexact. You're going to miss, and if you hit 50%, you're awesome. That's my take. I was frustrated by that. Let's blame Riley for this. I don't think that's deserved at all.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you, and I'm glad. I'm actually glad you brought that up, because I was tempted to go off on that as well. Because the other thing too is that this happens yearly when it comes to teams having guys that are potential academic risks. The thing is that most times, so probably 60-70% of the time, those guys end up figuring it out, mm-hmm. and then they end up not, you know, they make it and they qualify for your school. To have a couple of these guys in the same year is a little bit of an aberration. So for people jumping on Mike Riley on this right away, go look at Elijah Blades' scholarship offer list. There were schools lined up to take that academic risk. The same way with Watts as well. You have a 6'3", 300-pound defensive tackle. People are always going to be ready to take that risk on. So if it wasn't going to be Mike Riley in this situation right now, it'd be someone else. And that's just kind of the nature of the beast. You got to hope that you do better with developing your classes around that, though, so that you don't have a massive depth hit.
Absolutely. It's going to happen. You just got to space out when it happens.
Right.
Greg Smith, please follow him on Twitter at GregSmithHV and subscribe today. HailVarsity.com. HailVarsity.com/subscribe. 30-day free trial offer. Greg's all over recruiting, does an amazing job. Brandon Vogel, Jacob Padilla, join the team. Check it out. 30 days on us when you sign up. Greg, I want a picture of your pizza just to taunt the rest of the world. So when you get your slice at Lazari's, shoot a picture out, all right?
I will do, and there'll be a little ranch next to it in honor of our man, Cyril.
Well, he is on deck. Good enough. Greg, awesome work, man. Thanks so much, bud.
Hey, thanks. You guys have a good one.
You too. There he is, Greg Smith. Greg Smith is kind enough to sit in tomorrow with TJ Henning. It's going to be rock and roll.
Nice guy.
He's the best. Love him. All right. Good stuff on recruiting. A lot covered there. We will find out how much money Jeremiah Searles raised for the fight against pediatric cancer. We will find out how Jeremiah Searles' golf swing is. We will find out how much Jeremiah Searles' ranch he has drank on his way to Omaha. Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Our favorite Minnesota Viking is on the horn. He is headed to Omaha. He had an amazing golf tournament this weekend. Tyson's Treasure Chest, the fight against pediatric cancer, raising money, losing golf balls, I'm sure. Jay, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing well. You are definitely correct. I lost probably about 15 golf balls the other day.
But you raised money. And you had a great time with people. Folks, I could not go to this. I was at a baseball game, but I've had a chance to be a part of the tournament. And TysonsTreasureChest.org is, you can see pictures and find out, or just go to Jeremiah's Facebook page and see all the heartwarming goodwill, fundraising, and then just fellowship that occurred. But, man, tell me, you got to be just smiling about how the tournament went.
Absolutely, man. It was an absolute blast. We had 32 teams of four, which is the most this we've ever had in our 4 years. And Liz actually sent out a text last night, Tyson's mom, and said that we raised a little bit over $14,000 for the foundation and for awareness and for research. And so all in all, it was a fantastic day. Could have done a little bit less on the heat side of the things, but sure. Other than that, it was a great day.
Well, I think it's hot all over America. I mean, it is what it is, but and you got to be just smiling, because I mean, training camp's a week and a half away with this stuff.
Oh, I know, dude. Training camp starts in a week from Wednesday, and I'm just praying to the guy upstairs that it cools down before then, because it'll be pretty brutal if it's like this.
No, I bet. So, Searles, we've got you on the horn here. Tell me why, and I'm probably the only guy in America that hasn't gotten into Game of Thrones, but convince me to get into Game of Thrones.
I shouldn't have to convince you. The fact of the matter is, it's the best show out there right now. I mean, I'll give you this. It took my wife convincing to get me into it like 3 years ago.
Okay.
And the second I was like two episodes in, I was in love with it.
Really?
So, I mean, I tried to fight the conformity for a while too, but eventually you just have to give in.
Okay. So you were why were you standoffish about joining that? That sword and dragon thing.
Well, the same reason I stand off is about getting an iPhone. Like, you never want to be like, oh, everyone does it. I don't want to be like everybody else. And then eventually you just you lose that battle.
Okay.
And so I lost that battle because I had everyone in the world tell me how great of a show it was, and it turns out it's actually a really good show, just like the same way I have an iPhone now.
Okay. I've got a movie update for you.
Oh, listening.
I told you last time you were on a couple weeks ago, there was a chance to vote for the Fan Day / Fan Night movie at Memorial Stadium.
Okay.
And we had alternative options, but Lego Batman's what's going to be on.
I think that's a solid choice. I'm all right with that choice.
There was no Nicolas Cage sighting, is my point.
I know. People sleep on him all the time, man. He's greatness. He's the LeBron James of his time.
Wow. What was the
heard it here first?
No, and last. What was the what was the Christmas flick he was in?
Oh, Family Man?
Yeah, I have that. I think that's good.
That's a solid flick.
It is. Taya Leone. That's why I bought it, because I remember seeing her.
Nah, fair enough. Yeah, I like the Lego Batman choice. Did they pick a game yet to show?
No, I don't think that's on the table. It was just wishful thinking.
It was wishful thinking? What won your poll? Which one did they decide on there? Do you remember?
You know, I think the 09 Colorado game was super high up. I screwed up. I should have put your go-tos, i.e. Game of the Century, National Championship games. That's what I should have gone to, because there's four games that every Nebraska fan, they can call the play, right? So I went with more obscure choices that were still great games.
Agreed.
But yeah, I screwed that up. But no, they like the 09 game. Were you a redshirt that year?
Yeah, no, I was a senior. Is that
school.
The Sioux game?
Yes.
Yeah, that was my senior in college. I drove up with like three of my buddies from the team.
Mm-hmm.
And because we lost on Friday night in the playoffs, and I was like, you guys want to go? And absolutely jumped in the car and went.
Okay.
And so I can remember just being in the stands going absolutely nuts with that. Like, our whole class was there. Like, Brent Qualley, Colt Benzik, CJ Zimmer, Nick Ash, like, Jess Coffey, Cody Green. Like, we were all there for that game, and it was a ton of fun.
Okay, recruiting video. If you were to go back in time and make one, how would it go?
I wouldn't. I would not at all.
Pretend it's like exactly getting convinced to watch Game of Thrones. But pretend you actually like step forward and do it.
I can't. I literally, me and Sip wanted a conversation
about
this.
That's why I brought it up.
And I was the old man. I was the old man on my lawn, like the get off my lawn guy about these recruiting videos. Because they drive me literally insane.
Here's what I pictured. I pictured you like in a bar room playing like that buck hunt game.
The
right?
Big buck hunter?
Yeah, but you're blowing away choices, and then there's Herbie.
All right, here's what I'd do. I'd have three pizzas lined up.
From?
I'd have all the pizzas like they do the hats, and then I'd lift up all the pizzas, and they'd all have my schools on. So it would have been Arizona State, Nebraska, and Oregon. And then I'd have looked at them, then I'd have poured ranch all over the Oregon and all over the Arizona State. And then I'd take a big old bite of the Lazari's, Randy Ross, pepperoni pizza, and an N in front of me, and that's how I would have decided.
Okay, there you have it. Now, because you have pizza with your ranch meal, I would figure you pour the ranch on the Nebraska and then just kind of throw the non-ranch pizzas out. But I get it. That's all good.
Oh, I need you as the producer. See, I need your expertise for those things. Because you know what I did? I called the coach and I said, "Hey, at Oregon, I said thanks a lot for everything. I'm going to make my decision to go to Nebraska." Then I called Coach Cotton and said, "Hey, man, I'm really excited to be a Husker." And that was it. And it all worked out all right.
I would say so. Our favorite Minnesota Viking.
I didn't.
Jeremiah Searles. No, I get it.
You're going to get me fired up again, Schmitty. You're going to get me all fired up.
All
I had a long talk with Sip.
No, and he's awesome. I love him. Let me ask you this. Okay, we are headed to Minnesota tomorrow. Me and Uncle Andy.
Next Tuesday. Oh, you guys are?
Yeah, we're going to the Twins and Yankees tomorrow night.
Very cool. Okay.
Where do we get our Juicy Lucy at in Minnesota?
Oh, that's a tough one, because the one downtown, it's escaping me right now. I know Hell's Kitchen isn't a bad one.
Okay.
But I would say, if you're looking for, are you truly looking for a Juicy Lucy, or are you just looking for a solid meal?
I think Uncle Andy and I are going to get it going. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, if that's the case, try Butcher and the Boar.
Okay.
Butcher and the Boar is a great place to go get some food. And just they have really good, like, sausages and different types of, like, cheese plates and, like, just really good all kinds around meats.
Okay.
If you're looking for that. And then the Juicy Lucy, I'll have to get back to you on that one because I got to look up the name of it. It's escaping me at the moment.
That's fine, my man. Hey, enjoy Omaha. We are going to get you in here before you leave for camp, okay?
No doubt. We'll figure something out this week.
Jay, you be good, brother. Thanks for your time, man.
Absolutely. Always a great time on the show, man. Take care of yourself.
See ya. There he is. See, Searles would freak about doing a video. I knew he would. You'd hear the anger. And it's like doing Incredible Hulk here. He's going to change to being green and angry in a minute. Purple and angry. So, Jeremiah Searles. $14,000. Tyson's treasure chest. Thank you to those who donated. God bless you. Your chance at Salt Dog tickets. Next segment, VIP. A quick timeout. We'll say goodbye on a Monday with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
You know, they added this Starsky and Hutch that was on CMT last night. I like that movie.
Not bad.
I like the cheerleaders in that movie. Nebraska Department of Roads, 7 out of 10, too many. The portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed on Nebraska roads last year. If they've been using their seatbelts, at a minimum, 69 alive today. And law enforcement on the lookout for seatbelt violations this month. Click it or ticket campaign going on. And they're writing tickets for seatbelt and child restraint violations. So please click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Okay, we've covered recruiting. We've covered Chris Jones and the injury. Searles was on. Blackshirt Charlie was in. Greg Smith rocked it in recruiting. And then Blackshirt Jay Moore told you who's going to win the British. Caller 5 now for Salt Dog tickets. When are we giving these away?
We're giving them away now.
Yes,
for Friday.
What day? For Friday. All right, want to go see baseball? On us, VIP seats to Haymarket in the Salt Dogs. Awesome team, fantastic facility, and let's be straight, man, just great people with the Salt Dogs. Love them. Caller 5 right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Caller 5. Now, Salt Dog tickets, VIP seats for you for Friday's game. Get your weekend kicked off at Haymarket on us because we love you. Caller 5 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Now, I got to ask, is it annoying or I'm not asking for, oh, isn't that sweet type of response either. But with Twitter, my, like, high volume in Twitter use is usually road trips. A lot of Schmidt pictures from Kansas City. There may be more from Minneapolis. I am off tomorrow and Wednesday. TJ Henning, Greg Smith tomorrow. TJ Henning and co-host to be named later. It's not part of a trade. On Wednesday, back Thursday, Friday, and, of course, the weekend edition. So a quick breather, taking Junior up to see his and Grandpa's and Uncle Andy's Yankees. I am in it for the beer and the food. Not the Yankees or the Twins. So it'll be sweet, though, because that's a cool, cool park. It looks like it anyway, the new, air quote new, Twins Park. So yeah, a little roadie. And we'll see if Uncle Andy and I can get the meat sweats at the Butcher and Boar. Get Fat and Happy restaurant, Searles suggested to us. But yeah, there'll be pictures, and if you're annoyed by them, apologies ahead of time. If you like them, it's okay too. So we'll have a winner here shortly for South Dog tickets. We will talk to you, for me, Thursday, but Hail Varsity back with you tomorrow. Greg Smith is a saint. TJ Henning is a saint. And they'll rock it for you. Enjoy it. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Take care.